With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
On the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
It's right here. I have your paycheck. Okay, here. Jeez, that's where he's wandering off to, everybody.
Crazy. This is. I want to get paid for my work.
Well, yeah. Why do you have to look for the check right then? PJ was distributing out. PJ was check guy today. Every payday, there's always a check guy, and he does. He distributes them out. It was PJ. Perrin Johnson was our check guy for the day. By the way, I feel really bad. I don't know if you heard it, but Korean Sports Center was kind of a train wreck, and it wasn't really his fault.
Yeah, it was.
What? Why did you just immediately throw poor Jack under the bus?
Because he's leaving tomorrow, and I got to live with you.
Well, right, that's fair. That's fair. But just there was a saved clip. His Sports Center clip basically got saved over. So we loaded it, and all it was this.
Strippers and hookers in the dorm paid by the assistant coach.
The heck?
Yeah,
and
so,
he was talking about Bats baseball, probably. So that was probably.
What was the throw to that, Green?
Talking about NCAA tournament ban possibilities in 2021.
Strippers and hookers in the dorm paid by the assistant coach.
Pat Forty said yesterday that he expects, he thinks there's a good chance Louisville gets a ban in 2021.
Oh, that's great news. That's just great news on Nick's birthday. They got nerve talking about that on your birthday. It should be seashells and balloons on your birthday.
This was the actual clip.
Okay.
I would say 2021. I think there's a very good chance that Louisville is not allowed to play in the NCAA tournament. Now, you know, we will see how things progress, but I just don't think, given the past, all right, let's not forget strippers and hookers in the dorm paid by the assistant coach. That's a big deal, and that already got him out of one postseason, right?
Wow, that was Pat really selling his, like, Circus Barker voice there. Like,
Pat brought it yesterday. In studio with Andy Sweeney. You can check that out on the podcast center.
He was an audition. You know, he's trying to get a job here.
Hey, that'd be great, Pat Forty. Suddenly, we wouldn't have the best hair, though. Who does have the best hair at the studio? Your hair game is solid. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Although, you don't want to go full Francesa.
No, I'm not. I let it get gray in the summer because it makes me look tanner. As soon as this month is over, Labor Day comes. It's like you don't wear white after Labor Day. You crank out the Just for Men, and back it comes, and brown-eyed boy and brown-haired boy is back.
You don't want to go full Francesa. Never go full Francesa.
No, don't want to do that, dog. I don't want to do that, dog. Don't want to do that. The whole thing with Louisville is, I mean this without sounding patronizing, because I'm a fan as well, but I feel for Louisville fans because they are tremendously, tremendously passionate and loyal. They have forked over a lot of dough to support this team for a long time, and this, it's just, it won't go away. It just won't go away. I mean, how can you have all the crap that went on with the strippers and the hookers, and that's bad enough? I mean, it's really almost unbelievable in some ways. I don't care what the explanation for it is. But Rick talked to Leslie Visser. I didn't know anything about it. I told him he toe the line. But then he gave explanations why assistant coaches still cheated. Well, then the message wasn't conveyed, if you didn't know. I mean, you did a pretty crappy job of conveying the message. I got to tell you the truth, then, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, if you think that you're really an inch away from having them throw the bag of hammers at you, the message has got to be, I'm telling you, dot every I and you cross every T, or don't come talk to me. And instead, they're funneling money at guys. And the idea, well, everybody's doing it. Well, that's the tough luck. I mean, that's the whole point. The whole point is that the same way Rick said, you know what? Okay, maybe that is the way other people are doing it. Well, we have to find a different way to do it. We're going to write, look, Rick's talking about, you write notes, you do all these things. Okay, well, if you really believe that, he must have done. I'm sorry. I just got to be candid. He did a crap job of conveying that to his assistants then. If the urgency was really there, that we had better toe the line or make sure that, you know, nobody steps one toe over the into the water, then, yeah, I mean, listen, read the Riot Act. We've done that with our kids. If you're a parent, look, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Just don't let this happen. Do not let this happen under any circumstance. Don't let it happen. And listen, parents do that all the time. Whatever you do, don't have anyone over the house, okay? And then you come back and find out they had a party and guys got a car in the living room. So guys do it. But these are people's careers and professions, and that means there's an unprofessionalism that goes on there with the people that he's involved with. And so the message didn't get through to them. And as you're the sender of the message, you have to take some responsibility for that. And so a guy wrote me yesterday, you know, we wish Rick well, but this is the texter talking, not me now. But it's hard to argue that it wasn't time to move on, because if everything, even if you take him at face value for everything he said being true, and that's fine, you can do that. If he didn't know, fine. But if he really says he sent the message to them, understanding he got the severity of it, he knew, man, they were in trouble. That they had to really be careful about how they did things. Well, obviously the assistants didn't buy into it because they were breaking rules left and right. So okay, so I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't understand what the school. I know, I'm not saying it accusingly. These are questions. Sometimes you ask a question as a way of making a point. In other words, I can't understand why you could say that, meaning what I'm telling you is I think your viewpoint is ridiculous. That's not really a question. I don't understand how you could say that is another way of saying I think your opinion is ridiculous. These are legitimate questions now. These are not my way of saying what the heck is that or I disagree with this. I literally don't understand it. What was the school hoping to get when they appealed all these problems in the past, that they think that Chuck Smert's involvement in it was so good that they're using him again? Or is it just the fact that he has firsthand knowledge of what's gone on? I don't know. But according to one source, the NCAA Associate Director of Enforcement, Nate Leffler, interviewed a Louisville businessman on Tuesday about Brian Bowen, and then former assistant coach Kenny Johnson and aspiring agent Christian Dawkins. The source said that Chuck Smert, president of the compliance group, was also there for the interview. Because, Smert, rightly or wrongly, again, as I say, I don't pretend to have firsthand knowledge of this. I don't even really want firsthand knowledge, to be quite candid with you. I want to see it play out, get put in the rearview mirror, and then let's go forward with a nice, shiny program that everybody's happy with and proud of. That's maybe my naive look at the world, but that's how I see it. Because this is just wallowing in the dregs of what the bad stuff that went on. But most fans look at a place like Carolina and Auburn and other places, LSU. You got a guy on record, basically short of standing there with an Instagram picture of him holding, two bags of cash, and on the bag it's written earmarked for, that's about the only thing that would have been worse than that phone call. He's still coaching, this puts me in an awkward position because so many of the people are my friends. I consider Rick my friend. I consider Bruce Pearl my friend, but I don't understand that whole situation. Half his staff's in jail or going to jail, and he gets contract extension. What message does that send? North Carolina has, fake classes for two decades. Nothing comes out of it. And the discussion is, of course, he was open to all the students. Whatever the reason is, all I know is Louisville said, okay, we're going to be proactive and really try and take this thing head on. And they got hit with the bags of hammers. So, you know, the fact of the matter is, you look at this and you say, Louisville fans, what the hell is he doing here? But as I said, I don't know. Maybe they say, you don't understand. As much as we got hammered, oh, my God, the things they wanted to do to us, they wanted to, there was real talk. I'm not suggesting this. So before anybody says, how could you say that? I'm not saying, I'm playing, throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks. Maybe they said, you don't understand. We were really afraid we were getting the death penalty. We were going to get this. We were going to get that. And instead, you know, we gave up banners and everything. But, you know, Chuck Smart did what we needed him to do. So if that's the case, okay. But to fans, he is associated with a guy who rolled over and led the school in rolling over to the NCAA and saying, we'll give everything we have back. And all the other schools just lawyered up and said, we're not giving you squat. We'll fight you every step of the way. So what? We got a recording of a coach saying we're giving money to people. We don't care. That doesn't prove anything. Yes, it does. It proves you broke. No, it doesn't. It proves nothing. It proves that our phone works. That's what it proves. No, it proves you broke about 14 NCAA rules. I'll tell you what it proves. I got your rules right here is what it proves.
Everything that guy just says. Bullshit.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank
and
you.
So people don't understand this. Do you actually think that Nick and Jamie have always done what you've told them to do? No, I don't think they always have. But I think that they're in certain situations where the severity of what we talked about, like, I mean, we've never lived in a house like this, but if we had a place where I say, listen, whatever you guys do, don't open that door, because if you step out that door, it's a 40-foot drop, I'm fairly confident they wouldn't have opened the door and gone out that way.
Hey, Jamie, let's open the door and go out that way.
Don't think so. So, I mean, and this is the case. Now, the only thing I'm wondering, did Rick not really get the severity of it? Because he keeps talking about they're out to get me, like the administration was out to get him. Well, I mean, yeah, maybe, but it wasn't just the administration out to get him. It was the problems, the very real violations of problems that went on, you know, were I don't know what the word would be, not some problems of perception. They were serious violations. So, you know, it's not like the persecution complex there, some board members out to get me. So I'm saying every time I bring this up, I understand less and less. All I do is have questions. Did Rick not get it? Is that why the assistants didn't get it? Did the assistants perceive it as it was a personality thing with a couple of board members, and that's really the coach's problem, and he's Rick Pitino, he'll fight them all off, and they didn't get it and say, let's bring out the bags of cash for Bowen. Or did he really understand, look, man, there were things that went on here. Even if he says, even if you accept in terms of his involvement with these things at face value, I didn't know anything. Even if you accept all of that, yes, he didn't know anything about all that. The fact of the matter is, under my watch, if I'm him, these things happened. Man, the NCAA really looked pretty harshly on these things. It's not a board member trying to get me. It's the NCAA saying the stuff that went on here was hideous. Did he not get that? Did he not agree with that? Did he think he was immune from? I don't know. I really don't know. He doesn't address those parts of it. So those things are baffling to me, and the whole process is baffling to me. You know, I mean, Steve wrote this, and it's you do have to wonder. It's difficult to understand why Rick would think that a top recruit would just fall into his lap. I agree with that, Steve. I know you're critical of things. I'm not sometimes, but in this case, you wonder about that. I mean, if you wake up and there's a Mercedes in your driveway, the first question is, why is this here? How come somebody gave this to me? You can't just say, well, lucky me. This is one of the most sought after players in the country. All of a sudden, they just come, they just present them to you on a platter. It works that way maybe at smaller colleges, but it doesn't work that way with the best players in the country, with the landscape of recruiting the way it is. So, guy says, follow your analogy. Well, Nick and Jamie wouldn't be trying to advance their career by jumping off a cliff. But here's the whole point to that. That's the whole point of it. Who, if these guys were coaching in the business for more than a year, they're not advancing their career by running the risk of having the NCAA put show causes on them. That's the whole point. I mean, if let's put, as I like to do, even though I disagree with your argument, let me grant it to you. Let me grant you this. Let me grant you that the assistants were thinking the only thing I give a rat's ass about is getting players. Then it's Rick's job to convince them, no, you don't understand the severity of this. If we step over the line again, you're going, if the kinds of things that we'd be doing, I got to go to a break here. So we'll do that, and then we'll get to our guests. But if you go over that line, you know, understand what's going on here. So to make your analogy somewhat appropriate, it would be kind of like, well, they want to go to the neighbor's house. The most direct way is to open that door and walk straight to the neighbor's house. It's my job to tell them you can't walk that way. You're going to go into an abyss that's going to kill all of us. So you can't. And if they didn't, then you did a pretty good job of a pretty poor job of depicting the severity of the situation. That's my contention, because I cannot believe. But then again, maybe guys are just bulletproof and they're arrogant. I don't know. I mean, I love Bruce. I really do. But I even told him. We played golf together. I said, what the hell were you thinking? He had just gotten in all that trouble with the NCAA, and then he tweets the picture out of the kid at his house. And I mean, it was a week later. It was a week later he tweeted a picture out of a violation. I mean, how stupid do you have to be? Honest to God. I even said that to him. He said, yeah, not one of my most intelligent. Yeah, really, no kidding. But that's what I mean. So I don't know. Maybe it's just I've done dumb crap. I mean, I just asked John Clayton and had a guy on the wrong team in the interview because I was reading about one team and asking him about another. And the UK fans lost their mind. So it happens. But it's hard to explain. We'll take a very short break. I have to do this, and we'll come back with the next guest. So let's do that. Very, very short timeout and come back here on the V Show on ESPN 680 1057.
V Show with Bob Valvano is now right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We're going to put a bow on the Bruce Pearl story in a bit because I think I sent an inaccurate message up, but I don't want to have our guest wait. We're very, very pleased to have join us right now from Yahoo Sports, accomplished author, screenwriter, and radio host, and just a very, very fine reporter, Dan Wetzel, who wrote a piece along with Pat Forty and Pete Thamel about the EYBL and Nike particularly, and Dan joins us right now. And Dan, I was going to ask you, let me just tell you, as I read your piece, about, you know, there's texts and there's people that are willing to talk on the record, evidently, about carrying money through airports and specific amounts offered to every player. And then I was going to say, so is this a smoking gun for Nike? And then I'm being a little cynical here, but I'm telling the truth. I think about the recorded message for Will Wade at LSU, and he's still coaching. And I don't think there exists a smoking gun. It's quite literally a guy's holding a gun in his hand that's smoking. That may be the only way. So what's the significance of this story as we go forward, do you think?
Well, the significance would be, I agree with you. I think the whole thing is the smoking gun, right? And everyone keeps pushing the envelope or moving the goalpost to, like, well, you know, you don't have video
right.
of someone saying, you know, hey, here's $10,000, so you will come to my school. You know, I mean, that's how people talk. So, you know,
exactly.
I don't know what people really want. I mean, you get that with the Kansas, you know, like, oh, what, Bill Self? I mean, he's not really, you know, what is he saying here? Like, just this. Look, I'm not an idiot. Like, you know, sorry, I'm gonna believe what I hear. So, you know, the significance here is what comes next, really. Michael Avenatti. Is, you know, no matter what you think of him politically or his or anything else he's done, I mean, he was Stormy Daniels' attorney,
right.
Always arguing with Trump. He is what he is. He is a nightmare if he is sick on you. And he is fighting for his freedom. And he has been, Nike claims he extorted them. He says he was just trying to represent a whistleblower. He got arrested. He's fighting for his life here. And he isn't going to stop. He isn't going to play nice. He doesn't care. So this is kind of the X factor in this, is that he's determined to uncover as much possible about Nike and show Nike was corrupt. And so you have a guy like that who's going after the biggest shoe company in college basketball and the biggest power broker in all of college basketball recruiting. Who the heck knows what, you know? I mean, this could peter out or it could be a lot. What other emails does he have? What other text messages does he have? What other proof does he have? What other people, that, you know, where is it going? So that's, I don't think that, you know, yesterday's story clearly shows that pretty much everything they accused and convicted Adidas representatives of doing,
yep,
Jim Gatto and Roll Code, they were doing it Nike.
Yeah.
And we always knew that. Adidas wasn't bidding against itself.
Right.
Stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. But it's Adidas that got nailed. It's mostly Adidas schools, Louisville, Kansas, North Carolina State. They got caught up in this trial. And of course, everyone sat around going, well, what about the other guys? Where's Duke? Where's Carolina? Where's Kentucky? Where's all the other schools that deal with Nike? Why was only Adidas really gone after? I don't know the answer to that, but the Michael Avenatti is basically running his own FBI investigation. And, I, you know, again, you can take anything you want of the guy, but I don't think anyone would sit there and go, he's not someone who's capable of mucking things up and creating, finding dirt and going hardcore right at the throat of whoever heck he wants.
You can find the piece we're alluding to, by the way. I probably should have told the listeners that right at the top. It's on Yahoo Sports. 40 Thamel and our guest Dan Wetzel teamed up to write it, and the headline of which is, Avenatti Motion alleges Nike was willing to pay Zion Williamson other college stars. The Zion Williamson aspect to this, leave Duke out, leave Coach K out, leave all that out. Let's just talk him. It's a weird dynamic here, because on the one hand, the public, I believe, would love to see real reform come in college sports. I really believe that. I think that there's a pent-up demand for that. But this is like Santa Claus. I mean, he's the college basketball Santa Claus last year. Big, cuddly Zion. He just kind of, you know. So I don't know. If it means that they're going to have to really allege some awful behavior by him and his people, I don't know. Are they going to have the stomach for it?
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody really faults Zion Williamson if he did take money. And there's nothing that we saw here that does that. I think most people would actually be fine with these guys getting some money, or a lot of people would. I think what this case, and even yesterday, and certainly during the two trials, just proved beyond any debate is that players have an enormous value even before they get to college. And anyone clinging to it's about the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. Yes, you can get more popular by going to Duke. Yes, you can go more popular by going to Kentucky. But these guys have value. Brian Bowen, Tugs Bowen, was paid $20,000 by Adidas to play summer basketball after his sophomore year of high school in Saginaw, Michigan. He was not Zion Williamson. He was not the number one player. He was like the number 30 player.
Right.
But that the NCAA wants to pretend you're not worth anything. You can't take any money. There's no money. I don't see a problem with Adidas going and saying, hey, I'm going to give this kid 20 grand to basically intern for us for the summer and play for us.
Mm-hmm.
Or 35,000 to Zion Williamson. He helps us sell shoes. Zion Williamson had 1.7 million Instagram followers, probably the vast majority of between ages 12 and 18, which is Nike's market,
right,
before he ever got to Duke. They all knew his Instagram videos, him dunking, and everyone, these kids, this is what they watch. They don't sit down and watch a two-hour Duke-Georgia Tech game. You're not going to get a 14-year-old to do that, not many of them. But you will get them to watch Instagram of, holy cow, there's this kid in South Carolina named South. So these guys have value, and as long as the NCAA keeps pretending they don't, they just push this underground. So what the most amazing quote in the story is, it's either a text or an email between Carlton DeBose, who was the head of the Nike EYBL, you know, basically the Jim Gatto of Nike. He's in charge of the whole thing. And he tells a vice president of Nike, I would bet 38 of our 40 top teams paid either moderate amount or, you know, or a small ransom to get kids to play for. Okay, so these top AAU teams, the top players on the top AAU teams are all getting paid. Or they could be getting paid if they ask for it. I'm not going to incriminate everybody, right? But essentially, this is already happening. And colleges, forget colleges, are they getting paid at the college? They're getting paid in high school. Again, Tugs Bowen, 20 grand. Now, I don't see a problem. Adidas wants to take some kid whose dad's a disabled cop in Saginaw and give him 20. Great. Terrific. If this was Google and they paid the top STEM student up at Saginaw High 20 grand for the summer, they'd put it in the newspaper and celebrate it. And so that may be in the long term. But I think the issue with the shoe companies, and this is a slightly different one that I think all of us should be upset about, is Nike saying to Zion Williamson, we're going to pay you, and we don't know that they did, but we're going to pay you you need to go to Duke.
Mm.
Okay? Brian Bowen, Adidas is going to pay you to go to Louisville. Now we have shoe companies choosing the talent.
Right.
Choosing the team. Okay? And you can say, well, Brian Bowen's not going to change the thing the way Zion. Yeah, but you add players. They're stocking the pond. I don't think any – I mean, this is supposed to be a fair play. Now, I understand how the sport works and all sport works. But nobody wants to watch the NFL and have Nike go, yeah, we're going to make sure a free agent signs for left and get under the cap in New England so because he'll get more TV exposure and that'll help us out. No, you want it to be a fair shot.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think that's where the issue is. It's with Nike and with the NCAA, not whether Zion Williamson got a buck or not. Man, he earned that buck. He deserves that buck as far as I'm concerned.
That, you hit it on the head. Dan Wetzel's with us here. Let me kind of follow that path a little bit further. I find it interesting because the simple fact is this. I'm really annoyed when I feel like our intelligence is insulted. And the fact of the matter is, like you said, the only reason they're paying these kids this money is that's the value they have. So why do we keep pretending they don't? They absolutely do. And as you said, Adidas wasn't bidding against themselves, so we had to know other players are out there doing it. So let's deal with reality. Let's start there. The other reality, Dan, is this. Why do we raise such a fuss over these guys? Didn't Freddie Adu get like $1 million as a 15-year-old soccer player in this country? There's tennis players and youth sports all over the place. They can take money if they want to. Nobody bats an eye. But because it's this, we all lose our minds. I think the whole point that you made at the end is the key. As long as they're not telling the kid where to go to school, why should we care? It's business as usual in every other sport. Young phenoms get paid, and it doesn't really make a difference in the big picture. That's what their value is. We pay people in our society what they're worth. That's what these kids are worth. So as long as they're not telling them where to go to school.
America.
Yeah. I mean, why don't they focus on that? That should be what the focus is on, rather than whether or not they're just getting paid or not.
Because this rule book is a tax dodge.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's a tax dodge, and it's I don't want to have to pay this. Just let the free market go. Now, what they'll tell you is, well, people will stop watching. Their relationship with these teams, if they think these aren't amateur athletes, will change.
That's
okay.
Boring.
Now, first off, you have to play pretend
right.
to believe that they're amateur athletes. Again, this is the head of the Nike AAU system. Says 38 of our 40 teams are paying kids.
Right.
Well, then who the heck isn't getting paid?
Exactly.
Nobody in the world could possibly be so naive to think, and again, I don't have any proof. Maybe Zion did it, okay? But if he did, he left a lot of money on the table, all right? But Zion Williamson was worth a fortune. So why are we doing this? And I say, well, this will change it. People won't be fans. This is the exact same thing they said about the Olympics. Okay, the Olympics went with amateurism. They got rid of it in the 1980s because they used to say you had to be an amateur, you couldn't be a pro. Does anyone sit there and see what they found out was the Olympics became more popular? You didn't sit there and say, I don't want to watch Michael Phelps swim because I saw him on a subway commercial. Okay, I don't want to watch Usain Bolt run three straight Olympics because he can make a living promoting Nike. No, I want to watch more because this guy's unbelievable. And I don't need Usain Bolt living in poverty or something, or Michael Phelps, like, you know, with a D job. No, I want to watch him swim. I have no problem. He got Simone Biles, right? Anyone watch Simone Biles? She's incredible, right? You sit there and go, well, you know, only if she was broke. Then that flip she does. No. Good for Simone Biles. Make the money, you know? Like, it won't happen. They're lying about that. There's no record of it. This thing is a tax dodge, a liability dodge. Amateurism is a fake concept.
Yep.
Nobody's an amateur at anything they're good at. I'm an amateur cook. If I got good at it, I'd become a professional cook.
Yeah, that is absolutely the truth. I mean, you hit it on the head. The reason they shy away from wanting to pay them is then they got to get into, are they employees? And it's still amazing that they can generate the – I've said this before, Dan, and I mean, listen, I'm not singling Louisville out, but I just was struck one day. I mean, the same day I read an article that their basketball program had made, like, I don't know, $22 million or something, I happened to be on their webpage, and in the upper corner is a little box where it says donate. And I was thinking, if you watch it, like went to the Knicks page, you were on the New York Knicks, would you in the upper corner and said, that's like to donate to the Knicks, you'd say, well, you lost your mind. What are you doing? But that's part of the charade, such as college sports is, that it's a not-for-profit. And that's what half the problems stem from. But that's why they have these crazy rules. You're right. The question is, what can you do about it?
Well, here's the thing to your point about the shoe companies or an agent or whoever being able to dictate the recruiting. if you shine light on it, bring it out in the open. You say, hey, this summer I'm playing for Nike. I got 25 grand. I played Nike EYBL as my junior year. Everything's in the open. You're actually more likely to be able to pick whatever you want because your contract ends with Nike. It's a one-year deal. Maybe that's the regulation you give. You can't sign a lifetime deal with
right.
Nike. You play for 3 months.
Right.
If it's hidden, the people at Nike can blackmail you. The AAU coach can blackmail you. The runner can blackmail because now you've compromised your eligibility. So you're gonna. I own you.
Yep.
You're gonna go to the school I want, and I have a side deal that you don't even know about with an agent, with a financial plan. Everything's in the dark. These guys do it every single day. You're coming through once in your career. Your mom. This is the first time you ever experienced this. These guys are there every year. They're gonna hustle you every time. And so when you hide it, it gets worse.
Yep.
If it's just open and you go, hey, this kid played for a Nike team. Now he's choosing what, you know, he wants to go to college, which college is he going to go to. He's actually got more freedom because everything's out in the open.
Yep.
When you create a black market, you bring less reputable people in because why would you want to be that guy? A lot of people don't want to end up being, you know, Christian Dawkins or James Gatto and going to prison on this stuff. Yep. Like, these guys are literally going to prison for giving people money. They didn't steal any money.
Right.
They gave poor people money, and they're going to prison because the NCAA rules. This is the stupidest crime ever.
It's next. This winter, locking up Santa Claus. I've had enough of him.
You know, they gave Adidas. Adidas wants to give poor people money. They give them the money. I don't even know if they're all poor, but you know what I mean.
You get the gist of it, right.
They gave people money, and you go to prison. Did you steal the money? No. Did you steal money from the guy you gave the money? No. Did you steal money from Louisville, the victim? No. They benefit.
Lock him up.
And lock him up. It's so backwards, but the whole problem is the NCAA amateurism. Because the high school, anybody who says a high school kid doesn't have value, it's just not true.
It's
just not true, and we know it. Nike and Adidas are extremely successful companies. They don't just do stupid things in business for 20 straight years. They do this because it works. This is what they want to do. Let them.
Yeah.
Just let them.
Absolutely. Pat Forte, Pete Thamel, and our guest Dan Wetzel wrote this piece. It's titled Avenatti Motion Alleges Nike Was Willing to Pay Zion Williamson and Other College Stars. Here's a question a listener texted me, and it was going to be my next question anyway, to be quite honest with you. What's the origin of this? What is Avenatti's at the very outset of this whole thing, where he took the actions that ultimately led Nike to claim he was trying to extort them, what was he trying to do in the first place if he wasn't trying to extort them?
So an AAU coach named Gary Franklin, longtime AAU coach in California, worked for Nike, and he got fired. And he said, "I'm gonna be the whistleblower, or however you want to characterize it."
Right.
And he said, "I got this dirt. You guys are breaking the law. All this stuff." He ends up hiring an attorney that he hires, Avenatti, and Mark Garagos gets in on it. Got all the celebrity attorneys, and they go after Nike, and they say, "Hey, you owe him this amount of money and all this." And, you know, look, I have no idea I don't know how all this works out. Was it an extortion attempt and saying, you have to hire me to do an internal investigation? Was this negotiating? We'll leave that to the judge and jury, but that's basically it. Avenatti knows nothing about college basketball, very little, no more than just a casual fan watching in March. But he came in with this guy saying, hey, I got fired. I got dirt on my employer. They're breaking the law. They're trying to work a settlement, and that's how he represented it. He ends up getting arrested for extortion, and so, you know, we'll see. But that's how he got involved. But now part of his way of getting out is, and part of his mission while he's fighting, is to show, look, Nike got me arrested by trying to continue to cover up what they already know is going on inside their grassroots basketball program. I mean, you know, if McDonald's and Burger King are there and McDonald's gets caught doing something, I don't know. You know, doesn't Burger King go, wait, are we doing that too?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, if you're Nike, you go, wow, Adidas, these guys are all getting arrested. Does anyone at Nike go, maybe we ought to see what we're doing on that front?
No, it was just business as usual. Here's the question, and I don't know if this is actually a legal-based question or just an observation kind of thing. In other words, like the the allegations of extortion that he is, you know, having to fight. Is this two different stories here? Like, in other words, could he lose that case and still, for lack of a better word, bring Nike down by exposing all this stuff? Or is it going to be one or the other? I mean, if he wins if he brings Nike down, does that exonerate him from the extortion attempt?
I don't know. Maybe not, though. I think it's just part of his defense. And so he could obviously expose a tremendous amount of evidence against Nike and still lose the case. I mean, that's going to be up to a jury whether they think that's true or not. But what you have with Avenatti, and it's a little bit the danger that Christian Dawkins brought and the other guys in the first trial, is Avenatti is not going to take a plea deal. He's going to go to he's just not. He also is facing a ton of other charges in California on other federal fraud, and, you know, I don't even know. But he's facing, like, potentially life in prison if he's sentenced to everything. So he's going to fight. There's no like, well, I'll just take 10 years. I'll take a plea deal on this. I'll take 2 years. No, why would I? I mean, unless everything gets globally brought down. So he has all the incentive in the world to go all the way to trial, try to call everybody, try to get every single bit of evidence out there, and try to turn this thing into a circus. Now, the judge squashed a lot of that in the prosecution. The weird part of that first trial, of course, was that the government was supposed to uncover and show how crazy college basketball was, and then they suppressed most of the evidence that was most interesting because they were trying to win. So I don't know how much, you know, is Avenatti going to get Zion Williamson on a witness stand? I got no idea. Probably not, but he's going to try. And that's where the whole thing becomes like, holy cow, who knows what's coming next? You know, the same way, you know, I'm sure that, you know, when Louisville had Brian Bowen Sr. on the witness stand, I mean, that's a nightmare. Yeah. You don't know what the heck the guy's going to say. I mean, anything can go. So could he create this second trial with effectively Nike on trial as a kind of a, you know, secondary, you know, figure that could get damaged significantly? Yeah, he absolutely could. I mean, he is not like Nike. Nike turned him in for extortion that he doesn't think he did. Again, whether he did it or not, I don't know. But this has a potential to get ugly with what else does he have? What else is he going to file? What else is he going to get out in the public? All of those things. And how long is, you know, this is kind of thing where it's drip, 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 right? He's a ferocious guy. There's no question about that.
It sounds, if in short, what he did is go to Nike, though, and say, if you give me money, I won't release all this stuff. For a lawyer, that seems kind of stupid. He must have known they were going to come fire back at him, didn't he? I mean, that seems very strange. I don't know the guy at all, but he can't completely have mashed potatoes for brains if he's, you know, he's been a high-priced lawyer all these years. What the hell was he thinking? I don't understand where he thought this was going to go.
I don't know. I don't know that part, so I'm not going to judge that. But what I will say is I think Avenatti is one of these guys, you know, Michael Cohen, who is Trump's attorney. These guys operate in a very unusual – I mean, it's a lot of bullying and pushing and you know, what's the line of extortion or not, right? Mm-hmm. These are the kind of lawyers that you – people say, I'll put a lawyer on, you know, this is the Doberman.
Yeah, right.
And these are the major league guys, Mark Garagos, you know, all these guys, and David Boyce, who they were going against, Nike's guy. These are tough lawyers. So, you know, fortunately, I've not been in that room, but I think they all walk kind of a fine line of what's legal and not legal and what's going on. And you hire one of those guys to really go after someone. Did he go too far or not? I don't know. But it's certainly an interesting – I mean, of all the figures I thought was going to all of a sudden enter the college basketball realm, I mean, I guess nothing should surprise me anymore, but I just wasn't expecting Stormy Daniels' attorney. Isn't that why we love college basketball? I mean, it's just – the theater of the absurd. Like, I'm never outraged by this stuff. I'm just entertained. I
mean, yeah, I gotta admit, it's never dull.
Of course Michael Avenatti's involved, accusing Zion Williamson and Duke. I mean, like, what?
Yeah, perfect sense. The stripper's lawyer should get involved in this, no question.
What a country we got going.
Hey, you know, I don't know, it's not directly related to this, but just your thoughts on, you know, these latest allegations that have come out from a board member at Louisville, that it was another board member who was funding the strippers and things of that nature. We had Pat Forty, your colleague, who sat in on one of our shows yesterday, and he seems to think that there's a good likelihood that there's another postseason ban in the works for the Cards, which is hard to fathom, but maybe that's the case. You got any opinion on that, where that has evolved?
I have not followed the story of who funded that. I'm clearly missing a good story since, I like being entertained. I think everything at Louisville hinges on what does the NCAA do with the allegation that on the stand that Brian Bowen Sr. made, that in, you know, when he was living at the Galt House in 2017, before that season, Son never really played there, but did indeed Kenny Johnson give him $1,300 in cash? He alleged that, you know, they met up, Johnson gave him $1,300. This is like 2 months after they got nailed for the stuff at the minority dorm, mm-hmm. and had their you know, title stripped and all the losses and the ban. I mean, in ten weeks later, an associate head coach is handing cash over to a father, as he testified. I heard that testimony. It was a pretty believable story. I mean, they originally met up at like a gas station. I mean, yep. The whole thing was a little crazy. If that is proven true, and the NCAA decides that's true, that's the one that, to me, is like, well, that's a repeat offender. Like, that's where you get a postseason ban or not. Now, where what they do with that, who actually funded what, I don't know. But I don't think Louisville is out of it because of what came out of Brian Bowen Sr.'s testimony. I mean, but is the NCAA investigating that? I think they are, but I don't know. Right? We have no notice of allegation or anything like that yet. So that, to me, is the one that Louisville fans or the Louisville program has got to be nervous about.
Dan, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate you giving us a lengthy visit. And, again, I urge people, if they've not seen the piece, to go to Yahoo Sports. Pat Forty, Pete Thamel, Dan Wetzel wrote it. Avenatti Motion alleges Nike was willing to pay Zion Williamson, other college stars. It's very, very detailed. It's very specific. There's names. It's not hearsay stuff. So it's an interesting read. As you said, it's always entertaining. Not always uplifting, but always entertaining.
It is what it is.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. We'll take a short break. We'll come back, wrap the hour up here on ESPN 680 1057.
Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, good. A conversation with Dan Wetzel. Appreciate the visit there. He and Pat are a little bit pessimistic that Louisville possibly getting another postseason ban down the road. Very sad, but happy news. Our friends at Wing Zone brought some great food over today. Adam and his staff dropped off Wing Zone Catering to our studios. Try the ESPN Louisville Special. You get 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for $9.39. That's named after our sister station, 93.9. Just mention ESPN Louisville. It's good any day of the week. Also, 4 thigh wings are just $2.99. Limited time only. 2 area locations in Louisville, Hess Lane near U of L, Hunsinger Lane in Hikes Point. You can order online at wingzone.com. Wings, burgers, flavor. Your mic's on like you want to say something.
Well, has anyone done our Wing Zone challenge yet?
What's the Wing Zone challenge?
Didn't we come up with that like 2 weeks ago where they just come in and
scream, just walk in and yell it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Come in and scream Wing Zone and we'll buy them their wings.
We're going to have 6 and 10 coming up at the top of the hour, and then Perrin Johnson will join us for the next hour.
Maybe.
So Paramount may not join us.
All right, might be stuck in a meeting.
Okay, it doesn't matter. We're going to do 6 and 10 regardless. New York Mike, though, has got a pick for us. We're excited. He's on a roll. He's been 2 for 2 in this preseason. Mike, I got a little good news and bad news. The money you gave us to go wager that day at the racetrack to try and add to our till for the V Foundation, for the Kentucky and Friends of V, we were ahead about $70 going into the last race, and we said we're going to try and really parlay this into something good. So we gave back We gave back about 67 of it. So the couple hundred dollars you gave us, we turned into a whopping 203. But we put that in the till. So thank you for helping donate to. We had it up to 270, and if we'd hit that last race, we would have got it up to about 500. But came up a little short. So we still made a donation. Thanks to you to the Kentuckiana Friends of Visa. We appreciate that. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, and you're on a roll. You won again with your pick last week, so you got another NFL preseason pick.
I'm doing two this week.
Hubba hubba.
You're getting a parlay. Like right before I did the ninth game with you, I was 8 for 8. The Hall of Fame game was 9 for 9, and the Raiders last week were 10 for 10. I'm going to try and go 12 for 12 this weekend.
That's impressive. What do you got for us?
Okay, first. August 17th, I think it's Friday. Is it Friday?
No. August 17th would be Saturday.
Saturday, Kansas is going to Pittsburgh. It's a pick 'em, and the odds are way ahead for Pittsburgh if they're not giving anything to the visitor. So Pittsburgh's the pick for the first of the parlay. And then on ESPN, Monday night, you got Denver playing the 49ers. This is like a gimme. You got to take Denver -2 against San Francisco. So that's Pittsburgh on Saturday and Denver on Monday.
All right. I'm going to – you know, the bad thing is you've been winning like crazy, and I haven't been investing because I'm afraid I'll jinx you. So now I'm going to play this, and I'm going to put the Maloki on you here, and you're not going to win. So I feel bad about that because I'm going to play this week.
I'll tell you what. On Dina's tombstone, I'm going to win this.
Not sure that's how you want to vow your victory, but okay, I'll buy that. So,
all right, I'm glad you did. Hey, Bob, you're a baby boomer, right?
I am.
I can't believe these girls in the thing. They said you're a baby boomer. And I said yes, I am. You're not going to believe I'm at Hirschborn at Bardstown Road, and there's a girl holding a sign. I swear to God, it says "Booty for Sale."
It says what for sale? Booty for sale?
Booty.
Really?
She looked about 20. She's skinny. She don't look dirty, but the sign says booty for sale. It must be a joke or something.
Maybe she, and then you would call her, and then she takes out a baby booty or something. I don't know. I hope so for her sake.
I don't want to find out.
We'll
see. I'd rather talk to you.
All right. Listen, we got to go. Top of the hour break. Thanks for the picks, Mike. Always a pleasure. And we'll take a short break, and then we shall come back and continue talking with you here on the V Show on ESPN 680 105.7.
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh, and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfort.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.